Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome again. We are back again with Real Talk with the number one doctors. Real Talk with the number one doctors is myself out of Fresno, California, and also Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia. We have an exciting show for you tonight. We do recognize that this is October 22nd. Against police brutality. We will be having a show tomorrow with some of the Brown Berets and Berets and MAPA. Those who are out at the protest this year was not able to make it because of family crises. But I do know that the work is still continuing there in my absence. We just want to thank those organizers, Gloria Hernandez, Brother Ralphie, and many that were out there today, and the families that were out there today, coming together to be able to come together and to talk about the loved ones who they have lost against brutality. And so we just want to thank them from all over the country. We want to thank Sister Dominique Smith from Stockton, California, who went to New York. She sent a lot of pictures about they did a mass march in New York today against police brutality. Also, all of our good friends in Oakland, California, San Francisco, Vallejo, and all over the place, just want to thank you for coming out today, one day out of the year, October 22nd, not today against police brutality. And we have a show today that I think is going to be very interesting. We're going to have Dr. Kennedy with us also. And I was looking at Fresno Media today, in regards to the homeless situation that's taking place. We want to make sure that we have two Olivers on the Fresno City Council. There's the Oliver Baines, and also I believe there's a Clint Oliver, if I'm saying his name right, Councilman Clint Oliver, I believe made some statements in the Fresno Bee in regards to the homeless here in Fresno. And so I want to try to read a little bit of what was said. We do have Dr. Jean Kennedy on the line. And just to let everyone know, she may be having phone trouble. We'll test it out here in a minute to see if she comes in clear or not. And then we're going to have Brother Patch, who is very very active in the homeless community situation here in Fresno. And we also, I took this show today, I sent it to our city council, our mayor office, because I hope they listen tonight to this show so that they can get a different perspective from the grassroots community. Our finger is on the pulse here in the community. And so I want to go ahead and try to read some of this very quickly before we bring Dr. Kennedy in here for a minute. It says, nearly everyone in Fresno know our city. Neighborhoods are under siege. We are facing the greatest crisis since the bankruptcy loomed over City Hall 5 years ago. The damage done to our city by the homeless is out of control. They have overrun nearly every park, along with hundreds of streets, corners, and shopping carts. The trash, vandalism they leave is nearly awake, costing residents, businesses, owners hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in cleanup fees and repairs each year. Complaints, calls are lighting up city switchboards, but this far, City Hall has refused to respond in any meaningful way. And so basically what's happening here is that our council member, Clint Oliver, is, I guess he's upset. That's what I'm going to use the word, he's upset. I believe that he's saying that that the homeless community here in Fresno is vandalizing, destroying the city. And I want to kind of go back for a minute here to kind of give you a little history on what's been happening here in Fresno for our listeners all across the world. One of the things that I believe that that Brother Clint, our council member, is proposing is that begin outreach campaign to neighborhood recycle centers, asking them to immediately cease accepting recyclables. And he's using this word, and this is the word that I want Brother Patch to chime in on when he comes on. And I'm going to spell it for you, V-A-G-R-A-N-T-S. And we're going to talk about that word. Conduct immediate sweeps to reclaim stolen shopping carts. Begin a public information campaign to discourage residents from giving cash to panhandlers and instead donate to the community organizations that fund homeless services. Implement a staff of citywide park rangers programs to patrol our parks and parks restrooms, which have become a den of drugs use and filth. Increase the Federal Police Department Homeless Task Force from 5 to 12 officers. This is what he's proposing. And so I posted some of this on our show today, and I want to go right into Dr. Kennedy here. One of the things, if you know, on our show tonight, I posted a lot of pictures of our council member, and I did that intentionally. I did that intentionally because I thought that it was very interesting how these politicians in our city, they use us as political guinea pigs. They come out to our marches if they care. They come out to our marches as if they have a sense of ownership. Now, this brother, Clint Oliver, Councilman Clint Oliver, is holding a sign of the SCLC. The SCLC is the Southern Christian Leadership. I believe that they were out there marching one year with the MLK protest. And if you know, if you see him, he has on like a coat. And I don't know if this is his wife standing next to him or his daughter. I don't know who she is. But anyway, there's this woman standing next to him. But it's interesting how he's holding the sign that says SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership. And we all know that Dr. King was fighting against poverty. We all know that Dr. King was an advocate for those poverty. And so I just thought it was interesting how this brother would come out and have the audacity to hold the sign of the SCLC and now turn around and want to say, oh, look at these hoodlum thugs, they're no good. But let me just remind you of something. Fresno, we want to talk about ceasing the recycling companies for stopping our homeless community for turning in recyclables. But first of all, I think that I'd rather have someone picking up my recyclables, if I'm going to say that, in the garbage can on the street versus breaking into my house trying to steal inside the house, if you want me to go there. Our homeless community here in Fresno cleans our community. Fresno was ranked, received recognition for one of the cleanest streets in America because of our homeless community here in Fresno. So for this council member to go and say, oh, we're going to, my proposal is to tell recycling centers not to to accept recyclables from the homeless community, who do you think you are? You're not God, first of all. I know that a lot of our Caucasians, some of them, not all of them, think that they're gods and that you can just wake up one morning and just say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this. No. These are human beings just like you are, council member, and they are citizens of this country. They have a constitutional right, they have a human right, and you don't have a right to sit up here and demonize them just because they're not privileged like you living up on the north end of town. See, it was Alan Autry who started all this tearing down the homeless here in Fresno, and then got grandfathered into Ashley Swearingen, who then kept violating the constitutional rights of the homeless community here in Fresno, which then cost the taxpayers of Fresno $2.3 million and more million dollars because we had to file a suit against those who are supposed to be protecting the constitutional right of everybody, especially at the lowest of that you call the lowest of low, homeless people here in Fresno. So they have a right. They have a right to turn in their recyclables. They have not stolen anything. They have not broken into no one's houses. And you don't have a right, Oliver, to sit up here and to denounce them as if they're some second-class citizen doormats. And so we're going to go to Dr. Kennedy here. Hopefully her phone is working. We'll go ahead and check that right now. Dr. Kennedy, are you with us tonight?
Well, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see how this works for now. Well, what a very interesting topic to have tonight. It's a very sensitive topic. It is one that deals with human rights. It's one that deals with civil rights. It's one that deals with people's amendment rights. It is one that has cost taxpayers all over the nation money to the taxpayers simply because our local government cannot come up with a proper plan to eradicate the homeless situation. Many of those homeless people that are on the road are veterans, have been ex-veterans. And we already know we have problems with the veterans department and even how they provide services. And so, again, we have not come up with a very suitable plan. Let me put on the hat of someone who's living outside of Fresno. When I heard the news just a few weeks ago that California has an epidemic, crisis, California has an epidemic, a crisis, as it relates to the homeless people, that you, your state, had to, my state, your state, our state, had to declare a state of emergency, not because there was a flood, not because there was an earthquake, not because of the fires, not because of some catastrophe that has taken place here, but because of homelessness, which is really driven by man-made. That is not a catastrophe. Homelessness is a result of bad planning, bad visionary, and in fact, it's become a political ploy. It is one of those platforms that our political icons rest their political hats on. After all, you just said that a few moments ago, Reverend Harris, you named two politicians who would want to take the situation and would want to showcase it, whether it makes their political platform look stronger or not. And I'm looking at an article here, June 1st, 2015, and it says number of Fresno homeless drops half in 2 years. And yet I'm hearing in the same breath that California has an epidemic and needs to declare themselves as needing help from the federal government because they are outran by the homeless situation. It is a crisis situation that they now have to call on the federal government because California is overran by their homeless situation. Yet, when I hear that situation, I have to wonder, how is it that Mayor Swearingen expects to end chronic homelessness next year? This particular article is written in June 2015, so she's going to end chronic homelessness next year. What is it that Mayor Swearingen knows that the mayor in LA doesn't know, that the governor doesn't know, that those who are providing services for homeless people doesn't know? Why is she sitting on the answer? What is it that she knows that nobody else knows, unless she's using that as a political ploy to put a feather in her cap? How can she, reading what I'm seeing right here out of the Fresno Bee, this is not something I've written. This is not something that some local advocate folks have put together. This is coming out of your local newspaper. Another thing that draws my attention is it says priority is to get homelessness or homeless into housing. The priority is to get homeless into housing, then often other services. and offer them other services. So the priority is to get the homeless into housing and then to offer them other services. Well, we have been talking about this when I was in Fresno, whenever I was right there when we had broken down the camp. We saw the what they would call their person, their contact person, out of the city city hall, come in and be able to set up what they were doing to put these homeless folks into shelter. And yet we still have a homeless situation now, even after pulling down the homeless camp. It is a systematic problem. That's the point I'm trying to get to. If you're going to use the housing department, why then have we not solved this problem? If you're going to use the Department of Social Services to provide services for these folks to be eligible, why do we continue to have an epidemic, not only in Fresno, but in the entire state of California? And then here's another piece, and then I'll go back to you, Reverend Hans, so we can open this up for conversation. But I do want the listeners to listen to how systematic this is. This homeless situation is a billion-dollar revenue for folks who won't do right by their citizens in their communities to draw down on federal funds, and yet they are the same ones. Many of them are Republicans who are the same ones who are always attacking the President of the United States of America, the Democrats, and they're always attacking big government, always attacking services, always attacking what they're doing with their money. And yet they are the ones that cannot come up with a plan of action, but yet they go and they still attack government and says, let's make government small. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Republicans, you cannot have your cake and you cannot eat it too. Here is another piece that's highlighted. In 2015, a point in time survey that identifies 65% fewer unsheltered homeless comparison to 2013. Well, if there is fewer, how come you have an epidemic that is breaking here in the state of California, where we all over the country is hearing this news? It hit the South. We heard that news. I happened to be traveling in Georgia during the time that that news came over our airways, that there is an epidemic that has broken out in California because of their homeless. Thought they were going to talk about the fires that had broken up. Here I thought they were going to talk about floods, the mud floods. Here I thought they were going to talk about some other situation, but yet the state is calling for an emergency due to their homeless. Well, mayors and people like Mayor Swanson and those who are in your cabinet, what is your plan of action? What is it that you know that the others don't know that you're going to be able to eliminate homelessness next year? What is your blueprint? I surely would like to know, and so would the listeners. Reverend Harris, go ahead and put your 2 cents in, sir.
Well, you know, Dr. Kennedy, one of the things, I've been here in Fresno for over 45 years. I'm not new to it. I'm true to it. My finger is on the pulse on four corners of the city. I do understand that North Fresno outvote the entire city. I do know that north of Shaw do control the entire city when it comes to the money resources here in the city. But let's just talk. Let's just go back in memory lane here for a minute. The politicians here in this city rolled the dice to build a baseball stadium that's rarely used, maybe 4 or 5 times out of the year. They then turn around and they built Granite Park to the point to where it went bankrupt. All these developments that were built here in this city, no one paid attention to the housing of our people. No one paid attention to or even thinking ahead to see what was the crisis that were coming up. How is it that Fresno has the highest concentration of poverty next to Katrina? No one is addressing that. Do you think that this council member, Clint Oliver, who's supposed to be representing our entire city, do you think that he has that Brooklyn Institution report on his desk saying, how is it that we have the highest concentration of poverty? How do we beat Skid Row, L.A.? How do we beat Chicago? How do we beat Philadelphia? How do we beat the cities in the South that have the highest concentration of poverty?
How is it that my city has the highest concentration of poverty? Do you think that he addressed that issue each and every day? Do you think that he'll come to my community and have a sit-down conversation with me and say, Reverend Hare, let's have a conversation. I may not like you. I may not care about you. I may not like you marching and protesting. But you know what? You got a valid point. Why do we have poverty here in Fresno, California? Why? Just sit down and have a conversation. But what he do is they go out and they want to campaign against those who may not have the political pull or the political muscle to go back at them. And then it's just all about, oh, we're going to police, we're going to get tell the recycling companies to discriminate against them because they're poor. He's just going to send in bulldozers and tractors and trucks just to destroy them. Listen, it was you, City Hall, that decided to build all these messed up developments in the city. HUD had gave you money to build. Go do your research, City Hall. HUD gave you some money to go build housing for low-income people. You took the money and you spent it on what the hell you wanted to spend it on. And so this is why we're in the crisis that we're in, because of City Hall. It's not because of the people. See, statistics don't lie. It's not because of the people, because there's no way that you can tell me that the San Joaquin Valley, it makes $43 billion a year in agriculture, $43 billion, feed over 80% of the country here out of the San Joaquin Valley, but yet we have the highest concentration of poverty here in the San Joaquin Valley. See, someone is perpetrating a fraud, and we're not going to allow City Hall anymore to sit up here and run over homeless people in this community because you violated their rights. We had to sue you just to get policy in place when we shouldn't have to sue anybody because we have a constitutional right. And this is where we at today, Dr. Kennedy. Every year at this time, some politician will come out right before wintertime and start messing with the homeless community. Listen, Ashley Swanton was the one who tore down all the encampments downtown and pushed everybody up north. It was her decision to do that. So now you got those rich, uppity people up north upset now because they done roped off, they done fenced off everything where they were living at, staying at. Now they up north. So now all of a sudden now, you know, they're the problem. No, the problem is City Hall. Patrick, we're going to go to you right now. We want to welcome everybody to Real Talk with the number one doctor, myself and Dr. Gene Kennedy. Want to thank Brother Patch for running the board tonight. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that the mayor's office is listening to this show tonight. I'm hoping and I'm praying that our council member, Clint Oliver, is listening to this show tonight because I want him to call me tomorrow. I'm begging and praying that he will call me tomorrow to listen to this show, saying, Brother Harris, you know, I listen to your show and I quite don't understand your position, but this is my position. Come on, let's have a real conversation like real men here. Let's quit beating up on small people who don't have the political power, the political juice to go up against you. Come deal with somebody like me and those who roll with me so that we can help educate you, council member, because the way you're going at this right now is the wrong way. We're not going to have nobody else dying on the streets in the wintertime just because you and the Fresno County Board of Supervisors don't get along. The county services are supposed to have money and funds for mental health, but you know what? When budget time comes, you cut the budget for mental health, but yet you fund the sheriff department, MIMS office. When it's things to deal with poor people, you cut that. But when it's time to arrest people, you fund that. So we see what the game is. Brother Patch, we're going to go to you right now because I want you to come in. I want you to educate us on this word that starts with a V. Kind of tell us what that's about. But before you go into that, Brother Patch, introduce who you are. Introduce the church you go to and your radio show that you do, and kind of talk about your experiences as being homeless on the street that you're not now, but kind of go into that as we go towards our half-minute mark.
We've got 5 minutes and 18 seconds, so I'll make this quick. My name is Richard Patch Day. When I ended up on the streets of Fresno because I lost my driver's license, I picked up the name Patch because I always wear a black patch over my right eye, which there is no eye there. And I lived in the Santa Fe encampment, which the mayor so graciously tore down. And I spent 4 years, 3 years on the streets, and it, well, after working all my life, at first it was extremely degrading. And then I got to know a lot of the people that live on the streets. And come to find out, a lot of these people are educated, very educated, but due to circumstances beyond their control, they no longer had a job. The industries in this city have been pushed out because of taxes on them. They had to leave. There was no choice. They were just, the city hall and county board supervisors were just eating these people alive. The corporations couldn't handle it. They weren't, their profit margins dropped. So when they closed the doors, a lot of people lost their jobs. And it isn't but 30 to 90 days, and most everybody who loses a job is on the street. They have no recourse but to go on the street and go directly into this vagrant. Historically, vagrancy laws made it a crime for a person to wander from place to place without visible means of support. Basically, these laws criminalized being homeless and jobless. States used vagrancy laws to arrest, prosecute, and harass homeless people and poor people who were suspected of criminal activity or who were considered undesirable, mostly undesirable, poor and homeless. Most of them don't do criminal activity. They're just trying to get through day to day. And a lot of these people, homeless, have their families there with them. Children are also with them. And it also states here that most criminal statutes prohibit certain acts, such as talking, taking something that doesn't belong to you, having sex for money, or failures to act, such as a failing to provide a safe home for your children. While vagrancy laws sometimes prohibit specific acts, such as loitering, although this term can be problematic, as explained below, sleeping outside, panhandling, fortune-telling, gambling, or prostitution. They also prohibit being a certain type of person without regard to what that person might be doing or not doing. Vagrancy laws criminalize being, number one, unemployed, two, an alcoholic or a drug addict, three, prostitution, homeless. Under vagrancy laws, it was a crime to be any of these, even if the person was not otherwise doing anything illegal. Laws that prohibit being something rather than doing something are called status crimes. As explained below, many courts have decided that status crimes, including some vagrancy laws, are problematic and hence unenforceable. Are you listening, Mr. Oliver? Clint Oliver, that is. Oliver Baines, you need to listen to this one too, because you also hate the homeless. And it's constitutional problems are here too. All laws must be constitutional. This simply means that no law can violate any of the provisions of the United States Constitution, the law of the land. Many vagrancy laws have been struck down because they violated the Constitution's prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment and were vague. Cruel and unusual punishment. Laws cannot impose punishment that is cruel or unusual. Many courts have decided that the status crimes violate the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment. Los Angeles is one who has come to that conclusion. The judge did not make the decision. There was an agreement between the city and the one who filed the lawsuit. And because of that, and the Eighth Amendment, which cruel and unusual punishment is the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, have decided to take a different approach to homelessness. Boise, Idaho was informed by the Federal Department of Justice to take Los Angeles's lead and follow. There are cities all over the United States, Texas being another one, very large state, and they are doing what is being done in other states, Salt Lake City, Utah. They have a functional zero homelessness problem. There is no problem there anymore because they go with the housing first. Put people homes in a house who are chronic homeless. just homeless, needing someplace. They got families. They got to put them back in a house. Get them in a house. And then go through with the counseling, mental health, and everything else that the county has available to low-income or no-income families. This is what needs to be done. There's other cities who are doing a darn good job of it, and it is working. What is wrong with the city council, the board of supervisors, and the mayor's office, and the mayor herself? Can't they open their eyes and read? All this information is on the Internet. All they have to do is Google it up, like I have been doing, like Reverend Harris has been doing, Dr. Kennedy has been doing, and a lot of the other advocates between here and Merced have also been doing, and around this country we live in. So it's unbelievable how this city can keep pushing, tearing down, throwing away personal property, driver's license, IDs, birth certificates, and expect nothing to become of it. Expect no one to say anything about it. This city has lost millions upon millions in lawsuits. They've also lost millions just in the vehicles used to tear the encampments down, the time, the payroll for all the employees out there doing that. And I could see in the eyes of those that tore down my encampment on Santa Fe, they didn't want to be there. They flat did not want to be there. So it's unbelievable. I mean, it's actually unbelievable. I can't even fathom what goes through the brain of the mayor of a city, the city council members, and the board of supervisors to allow this to happen, to allow our mayor to sit down and say, tear it down, and tear up other human beings who are just like she is, but she is privileged. They are not. I was not. I still am not privileged. And I'm proud of that, because if privilege means I got to act like our political government here in this city and county, let me be not privileged. I'd rather stand with those that I stood with on Santa Fe to try to keep the encampment open and keep it from being torn down, then stand with the Board of Supervisors, City Council, the Mayor's Office, Mayor herself, Mr. Rudd, the City Manager, who was standing right in front of me the entire time they tore down my encampment, denying he was he. Why would he deny who he was? I kept asking for the City Manager. And he kept looking at me and said, well, I don't know where he's at. Why lie? Are you that scared? Are they that scared? Come on, folks. It's time to wake up. This city and the other cities across the United States are about ready to do a dastardly deed here soon. I don't know when the timetable is, but there is also something called the Civilian Army. To volunteer. I was asked in 1979 to join. I said no. I'm glad I didn't. But the front line of the civilian army is all of the police departments and sheriff's departments and security companies who work with these departments across the United States. All the Secretary of the Homeland Defense has to do is say, okay, everyone's under my control. Every chief and sheriff are now answerable to that one man. And they must do what he says to do. Unless they feel that what they are doing is wrong, then they tell him, goodbye. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. That is Patch, who is running our board tonight. Brother Patch, I want to thank you for that. I want to get back to Dr. Gene Candy here very quickly. I just want to read again what our council member, Clint Oliver, is proposing. He says, I'm proposing a 6-month common sense measure that will immediately begin to remove the chokehold that vigrants, as I'm pronouncing that right, Brother Pat, vigrants have on our city.
It's vagrant. Vagrant or vagrancy.
vagrants.
Yes.
Okay, chokehold that vagrants have on our city. Increase the Fresno Police Department homeless task force from 5 to 12 officers. Implement a staff and citywide park rangers program to patrol our parks and park restrooms, which have become a den of drugs use and filth. Begin a public information campaign to discourage residents from giving cash to panhandlers and instead donate to the community organizations that fund homeless services. Begin an outreach campaign to neighborhood recycling centers, asking them to immediately cease accepting recyclables from that V word again. So here he is again, Real Talk listeners. We are here with Reverend Harris and Dr. Gene Kennedy. It just amazes me, Brother Patch, if you can get Dr. Kennedy back on the board here. We can
she's on the board.
Speak with her really quickly. Dr. Kennedy, from your standpoint, you know, you were here on Ground Zero. I was side by side with you when we were seeing the homeless encampments being torn down. It's interesting how this council member used the language. He used the language. He says common sense. Common sense. That's what he says, common sense. Wasn't it common sense not to violate the constitutional right of poor people? Wasn't it common sense not to violate the human rights of poor people? But now all of a sudden it's common sense for him to come tell me that I work for my money, I do what I do, and I give my money who I want to give it to, but he wants to come tell me who I can and cannot give my money to here in my city. And it's interesting how he wants to go and tell business owners to discriminate against those who's pushing a shopping cart, to discriminate against those who may be pushing a wagon, to discriminate against those by what they have on. How do you know who is homeless and who is not homeless? How do you determine that here in the city? I could look homeless if I just walk in with a plastic bag of bottles or cans. So how are you going to determine who's homeless or not? See, what's happening, Brother Pat, Dr. Dean Kennedy, I can see right now we're getting ready to go for another lawsuit here in this city with the city of Fresno again, and I'm hoping that our council member is paying attention to this show tonight, because I'm just gonna wait by my phone all day tomorrow to see what his office called me to say, Reverend Harris, let's have a conversation about your points tonight. Dr. Dean Kennedy, we're back to you again. What are your thoughts about this situation now here in Fresno?
Well, I can assure you, Reverend Harris, that if you're waiting for a Republican to call you and to have that conversation about humanitarian, it's not going to happen. Don't hold your breath, because that is the situation. That's where we're at today. When I look at how things are done in the South and even in terms of Atlanta, we have a huge homeless problem there. However, for some reason, they have gotten the faith-based communities involved. So you don't have a large church like Westside Church of God and the others that are out there. I can speak about Westside Church of God because I've been a member of Westside Church of God. So I understand what their points are for homelessness, or even the ministerial alliances. I've been their liaison person there. And the programs that they have in terms of reaching out to feed the homeless, it's not aggressive enough. It starts somewhere, but that's only a starting point. When I look at the churches that they have in Atlanta, they make it a point that they are visible. Every single week, there is a major thrust to bring clothing and provide shelter in some way to keep them off the street. As a matter of fact, if the homeless people are on the street past a certain time, they can be ticketed. So they all congregate in one location where the shelters are. They've turned warehouses into places that people can get into. So you will see lines for days of homeless people trying to get into those areas so that they're not sitting out on the street or sitting out of a certain zone. They actually even have a zone area so that they're not past a certain zone area. So they got to sleep inside of sidewalks, inside of shopping centers, within that location. As long as they stay within that area, they're okay. When they come out of that area is when they will ticket them. So if you want to go down and help the homeless person, you know exactly where they're at. You would think that as many churches as we have here, as many intelligent people as we have here, as many so-called professing Christians who say they followed the principles and doctrines of Jesus, said when I was homeless, you didn't give me somewhere to stay. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. So then if they believe in following the principles of Jesus, what are they doing to eradicate homelessness? It is because homelessness has become a political basketball. I sat in many meetings with Brother Oliver Baines and even with the city council person on Sunday when people would be with their families. And the groups would come together with him and would sit and try to come up with some meaningful application, some meaningful plan of action to help eradicate the homelessness. And I cannot believe that 3 years later, we're still talking about what is the best plan for homelessness. We still have the same people that was at the table talking about the issue are the same people who are finding that they're still going around and around in circles. For goodness sake, the only reason why Fresno does what they do is because they can appeal to the federal government and get those grants. It's not coming out of their pockets. So homelessness works for the city council while they're putting their money somewhere else. And we as taxpayers are about to say enough is enough. There can be something and there should be something done. And it's benefiting them in their budgets while they continue to criticize large government, yet they're the ones that still continue to call on large government. I'm looking at some statistics here, and again, they're showing that they have eradicated homelessness from what was reported in the point in time survey, which was conducted in January. It shows only 814 unsheltered homeless persons is what this report is saying, that those that were living in shelters in Fresno compared to what they say was last year's, where it was 1,534 homeless and volunteers did. Actually, over 18,000 in 2013. So they're claiming that homelessness is going down. But if it's going down, why do they still have an epidemic? What are they doing? Are they recycling homeless people? Are they only keeping them in for a certain time and then they become ineligible to be back out on the street again? What exactly is the plan that is bringing people in and you have these high numbers, they go down at their convenience, and then the numbers go back up again? And so, again, we really do need to really call on our city council, our city government. There was a fight, used to be a fight between the city council and the board of supervisors and the board trying to figure out whose responsibility was whose. Who was going to make the payments? Who was going to be responsible? Where are the legalities? And I hope to goodness they're not still having that fight after how many years. I believe that fight is still going on some level. And so we've got to really figure out what do we need to do. Do they not understand that this is a direct human rights violation? And this is why we need to really be appealing to the international courts of laws. We really need to go to the international courts and make this homeless thing a crisis and an actual charge against the United States of America for allowing their citizens to be placed in a position of homelessness instead of giving them shelter, giving them food, giving them a safe place, providing for them. And they can do that by altering the budget that they have. And so rightly said, where they put their money. So rightly said, where the monies are going. They're going in the wrong places.
Right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That was Dr. Dean Kennedy and also Patch, who is running the board. We have about 50 seconds left. We just want to thank you for tuning in. We will be having a show again tomorrow. We will be talking about October 22nd, but we will be also talking about this homeless situation again next week, early next week or in the middle of next week. And hopefully I'm just praying that I get a phone call tomorrow from somebody from City Hall, at least to show that they do care about the concerns that we're bringing to the table. And this is Reverend Harrison, Dr. Gene Kennedy, and also Pat, who's running the board from Fresno, California. Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. We're looking forward to you coming to New Light, preaching on First Sunday. And tune in tomorrow. We're going to have a hot show. It's Open Mic Night with Reverend Harrison, Dr. Gene Kennedy. Open Mic Night tomorrow, October 22nd. We'll say good night to you.
We don't forget our town hall meeting, our town hall meeting that